Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Wake up, Denver.
It's kind of fast for Sunday morning.
It's good stuff, though. Just listen to the Beach Boys today for about 30 minutes.
How about you don't talk and we just listen to music?
Even better. My name's Bo Mitchell. This is Chuck King, my co-host today, sitting in the chair that Bob Belts normally occupies. And Chuck, I sure do thank you for being here today.
I love being here.
Let me tell people about you. You are a former FBI agent, converted
handsome.
To Christ,
handsome,
married to the beautiful Janine.
Lovely Janine.
It's spectacular. Dean and professor at the Colorado Christian University, and one of the smartest men I know.
And a great golfer.
I'm not going to go there. Athletically, you're still searching for your prime. But, hey, it's out there somewhere.
Well, but, I don't need people yelling in the middle of my backswing, I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on. I haven't done that recently. Anyway, you get the blessing as our program, and we exist to share with you the lives of our guests in an interview format that hopefully introduces you to them and lets you see that there are people that are impacting the world for Christ and doing good things for the cause of Christ here in this community and around the world. And our hope and prayer as we broadcast each week is that you would be inspired in your own life to seek Christ, and that you might be inspired to engage with the guest and become a part of what they're doing with their lives and their ministries. So our guest today is Hugh Brandt. Hugh, sure glad to have you, and sure glad to know that you've only been at this for 37 years with Campus Crusade for Christ, now referred to as CRU, but thank you, Hugh, for being here.
Really good to be here. Thank you.
Who's a famous, is there a Hugh? Oh, yeah, Hugh Grant. Is pretty close to Hugh Brandt. You're a lot more handsome than Hugh Grant.
Do you know, I lived in London for 5 years, and I can't tell you maybe 1,000 times when I'm talking to someone over the phone, they'll think I say Hugh Grant instead of Hugh Brandt.
Really?
So now I always introduce myself as Hugh Brandt with a B.
Well, there's a few Hugh Grant movies. I don't know what kind of person he is, but he is a funny actor, isn't he?
He is.
Notting Hill would be my favorite. Mm-hmm. So
well.
All the good work Hugh Grant's been doing, Hugh Brandt has been doing, I would say, much more impactful work for the kingdom of Christ. So why don't we start by just telling us where you're from and what your home life was like as a kid.
Thank you. I was born and raised in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then when I was turning 11, my parents wanted to escape the cold, and we moved to Colorado Springs. And I grew up down there, went to the Great Palmer High School downtown, and I went off to CSU. I grew up Methodist, grew up in a good Christian family, but as I went to CSU, I went and saw Andre Cole, the magician with Campus Crusade, and in that setting in Moby Gym with about 5,000 people, after he had done his magic show, I realized I didn't know Jesus as my Savior and Lord. So that night, in the midst of 5,000 people, I committed my life to Jesus, and that was in February of 1975.
Now, a lot of people can't remember, Chuck, a date like that. They remember maybe a season of life when they come to Christ, but whether it's a season or a date that you can remember as clearly as Hugh remembers his, there comes a time at what's called an age of accountability that you have to decide, don't you?
You do. And in many ways, I think it's really great when you have an event like that, that such a signal time in your life, and your life changes overnight. Mm. And it's awesome.
Don Reivers, who's one of the great ministers around here, former Young Life leader, now runs Denver Leadership Foundation, he says, unfortunately, in 50 years of ministry, that I am his only convert. he says it jokingly. He's influenced thousands of people. Yeah. But Andre Cole was getting it done in those days, wasn't he?
He really was. He was drawing big crowds, and in that night, he talked about Jesus coming again. And I realized, wow, I wasn't ready. I didn't know him. I heard about him, but I didn't know him.
In having the opportunity to talk with various groups, I often poll people and ask how many of them came to Christ in a church. And it's amazing how few people did. It's usually an event like that, someplace outside the church where Christ sneaks up on you because you weren't expecting it.
And then church hopefully does become a part of the growing process as a Christian, but it's certainly, as Chuck said, not where it normally happens. But so you just took off the next morning and became this amazingly wonderful person you are today, or?
No, not at all.
It didn't work that way?
No, in fact, it's kind of funny. I remember just within a couple months, Josh McDowell was coming on campus. He was giving one of his talks, I think, Resurrection Fact or Fiction, and they wanted to publicize it by walking around on campus with the box you put dead people in. A coffin. I wanted to carry a coffin around on campus. And they contacted me, and I said, I will never do that. So
felt a little weird.
Yeah, so it took me a while to grow. I was learning to walk with the Lord. I think I was slow in growing. So, no, there was not an overnight change at all.
Now, wait a minute. That sounds like Josh. He was always a little off the main track. But
because he's a lawyer.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a lawyer by background, I think.
I didn't know that. Evidence that demands a verdict. There you go. That would make sense. That's one of the books he wrote. Yeah. But you're saying he was trying to just prove the point, someday you're going to be in this box and you better decide, or?
No, it was more that Jesus is not in a box.
Oh, gotcha.
That he's risen from the dead. So the idea that it was an empty coffin that we're carrying around on campus.
Gotcha.
And it was a way to encourage students to come and hear him speak. And I didn't want to do that type of marketing as a brand new believer. I wasn't ready for that.
I like your image better, Bo. You're going to be in this one of these days. You better figure out what you're going to do. Yeah.
I may just think of this. Mark, you want to do that with me? But it's true. There are no teeth. There are no bones in Christ's tomb. And the resurrection, Chuck's a big part of what we believe in.
It is. And the resurrection of the saints and the Christians.
We're going to go that same way. So when did it kind of kick in for you and you decide, okay, I'm going to make a commitment not just to Christ, but to the work that he's called me to?
You know, I think as I joined small group Bible study led by students and I began to see their lives, they were living different lives, not so much things they had stopped doing, but things they were doing. They were reading the Bible. They were having genuine fellowship. They were being kind to fellow students. And so I think over the next few years, I really began to grow in my relationship, understand what it meant to walk with the Lord. And in my fifth year, I began to work in my heart about what I was going to do when I graduated.
Gotcha. And that's sometimes how it works too, isn't it, Chuck? When we feel like Bob Belch used to teach, some guys think, okay, I've received Christ. Now I need to go to Calcutta and become Mother Teresa. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We kind of...
Yeah, there's so many ministry opportunities in the workplace that people don't think about when they're doing it. What was your original career path? What did you plan to do?
Forestry.
Okay.
I was in outdoor recreation administration. I'd been a firefighter. I'd worked with the state parks here in Colorado. But my fifth year, I realized God was calling me to serve him full-time at that time, full-time vocationally, but I wanted to use my forestry. And so I eventually went over to Africa within a year of joining Campus Crusade, and I was a high school teacher. And, of course, I couldn't have done any of that if I had not studied all the biology, all the forest entomology, all those ecology classes I took equipped me to be a high school teacher in Southern Africa.
So it's interesting that... we serve a God of the miraculous, but we've said on here before, he's also a God of order and of logic, and he normally will take your experiences and your thought processes, your intellect, your humor, and align it with something which in this case sounds just perfect for you. You were prepared for one thing and ended up taking all of that and using it for another thing.
You know, there's no throwaway experience. You particularly for the young people listening out there, I don't care whether you're waiting tables in a restaurant, changing tires in a tire store, every experience you have qualifies you for ministry. And it's amazing when you get to be as old as Bo is, you look back at your resume and you say, I had no idea how those pieces were going to fit together to prepare me for what I'm doing now.
In fact, I can remember after 2 years of playing minor league baseball and the Cardinals sort of telling me, we think you have a bright future. It's probably not in baseball. I can remember how thankful I was that Eddie Crowder, who was at AD at the University of Colorado, hired me to be the director of development for athletics, thinking, okay, I get to kind of segue out of my life in sports into business by working in an athletic department, and not knowing that what I was really doing was learning how to be a fundraiser at age 24, and something I'm still doing at, thank you for bringing up, age 66. It's interesting that this was this, but this, more importantly, was that, and trained me for 40 years of being comfortable asking people for help for Christian ministries.
So you went to Africa, and you were a working missionary in the sense that you were teaching school, and you were doing your missionary work on the side, so to speak, and in the school. Then what happened?
Well, I went, my first 5 years were in the small country of Lesotho, and I taught at Buta Buta Community High School. And I found out I loved teaching. And I didn't have the theology to back up, but I realized each time as the students would stay in the classroom and I would move around, that as I would, before I'd go into the class, I'd pray not just that they would know Jesus, but I'd also pray that they would become good citizens. And I saw that whatever they would end up doing mattered to God. And so I wanted to be the best teacher I could. So I did that for 5 years. But then God was calling me after that, and I went up to Zimbabwe, and I opened up our campus ministry at the University of Zimbabwe, where I also met my wife, a good young lady from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we got married and had two children in Zimbabwe.
What the heck was she doing over there?
She was also with Crew, and she had preceded me into Zimbabwe. And by the time I got there, then the two of us opened up the ministry at the University of Zimbabwe and had a great time. I became the basketball coach, and just those were great years, those 7 years in Zimbabwe.
Now, did you fall in love with each other because you were two white people in the midst of people of other color?
If she's listening to this, I probably should say no. No, it was, she was the most beautiful blonde I'd ever seen.
Especially and, there. I mean, anywhere she's been beautiful blonde, but.
No, but I saw her love for the Lord, love for people. We just had so much in common, and I was so attracted to her as a person.
Let's talk about your hoop life there. Did you have any 6'11 guys that you recommended to America University?
In fact, I had a 7-footer on the team.
Come on.
He was the only young white guy on the team. And our team was a good team. I mean, in fact, a number of the guys were on the national team, and the year they would have gone to the Olympics was the year that Angola went. Angola beat them, so Zimbabwe did not go and play against the dream team. But a couple of the
good
guys
idea,
on my team,
them.
Oh, yeah, exactly, it was a good idea. Oh, it was a delight. These guys were a blast.
Did he end up playing after that?
No.
So when did you officially align yourself with Crew?
In 1978, I joined, just as I graduated from Colorado State University.
So explain to our listeners exactly what Campus Crusade for Christ was and what Crew is and how we made the transition name-wise there.
It's an interdenominational organization committed to fulfilling the Great Commission in our generation. It started in 1951 with Dr. Bill Bright, started on the UCLA campus. Since then, we're working in almost every country of the world, doing just a variety of things, approximately 20,000 staff. In the United States, a few years ago, they changed the name to Crew. They found out that we needed to have a name that was more relevant in the country here. In many parts of the world, Campus Crusade has a different name. Like in Western Europe, it's pronounced Agape, or as we would say, Agape. in much of Africa, it's called Life Ministry. So finding a name that is relevant, that fits, and crew doesn't necessarily, as a word, has a meaning. It's more now how we will live and function. We will give meaning to that name, crew.
Gotcha.
And what does that name stand for?
It doesn't stand for anything.
Oh, okay.
Just like Google didn't stand for anything, okay. And now Google has a lot of meaning. So it's a word that we are giving meaning to by who we are and how we live and what we do.
Someone told me it was Christians rarely cursing. But you is not cursing, so I don't know. Now, tell me two things that Bill Bright taught you as you got to watch him operate. And for those of you who don't know Bill Bright, he would be one of six or eight incredible Christian leaders worldwide for our generation, wouldn't you say, Chuck?
Yes.
Since you're as old as me now as you brought it up. But Dr. Bright was total class individual, but tastefully aggressive in sharing the gospel. So I could list a few things I learned, but I'd like to hear our guest, Hugh Brandt, tell us. How did Dr. Bright influence you?
I think Dr. Bright's commitment of walking in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit every day, you could see he truly did that. He believed that. He believed that God spoke to him every day. He followed the Spirit's leading. He taught very strong emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I would say his genuineness of walking in the love of the Father profoundly impacted me. Then his humility. He was a humble man. I have huge amounts of respect for Dr. Bright. When he said, "Come help change the world," that gripped my soul. I joined to go change the world.
How about you, Chuck? You hear the term walking in the Spirit. Can you describe for our listeners exactly what Hugh's saying there? Because I know I understood, but maybe somebody's listening that's thinking, I don't get it. Is that some...
Well, I think it is exactly. I think humility is a huge component of that, because we have to understand that we are the created and he is the creator, and that creates humility. I mean, we understand that we are only here because of Christ, and everything we do is because of Christ. Mm-hmm. So if we're walking in the Spirit, we're living our lives in such, we're ordering our lives in such a way that we rely upon our faith in Jesus Christ for everything we do, whether it's in business, ministry, or whatever we're doing.
So it's a perspective and an order to things that, you know, we're doing the best we can, but that's with an understanding that it's God that's in control and not us.
Yeah. And that this life is temporal. Everything we're doing here only counts for a little bit.
So I like the fact that Dr. Bright had the yellow book, which was a simple way to receive Christ, and the blue book, which was, are you filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning... See, I think the scripture says, do not be drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is an act of our will that says moment by moment, day by day, you know, we're tuned into the fact that once you become a Christian and receive Christ, that's available to you to walk in the Spirit. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, and it's a truth that we communicate to brand new believers. It isn't something that you save until someone's been through seminary or they're older. It's immediately we can learn that truth that God's calling us to walk with him day by day in the power of the Spirit.
Well, let's get into what you do specifically with Crew and what you're doing nowadays in Africa and other countries close to Africa. What's your plan look like? What's your program look like?
For the last couple of years, I've been with a new focused project of Campus Crusade. It's called the Cities Project, and I work as a city consultant with a few cities in Africa, and our tagline is, we're engaging leaders to live out their calling for the well-being of their city. And so I am helping to get this 9-month leadership circle class going in a few countries in Africa. I have such a deep love for the continent of Africa, but we're also getting it going here in Denver. And it's called a leadership circle class or strategy. And it's bringing leaders together, city leaders together, to learn from one another about how they can work with one another to make an impact, to address some of the big issues of the city. And maybe a good example for us would be how God used William Wilberforce years ago in the country of England, the city of London, and how he and the Clapham Circle brought change not just to that country but to the world as they networked together, leaders from different domains of society, making a big difference. And we're saying, if not, if then, why not now?
And the project at what stage right now?
Well, here in Denver, we're just getting going. We're having our kickoff week in the 28th through 30th of August. And then we'll have 8 weeks of one day a month, the third Friday of each month, where leaders will come together for the day and wrestle through different topics, topics like the kingdom of God, vocational calling, societal impact, holistic discipleship. And so we're starting the end of August, and then our first month of meeting for a day would be in September. So right now we're still recruiting some leaders to go through the training.
You are listening to You Get the Blessing with your normal host. I guess I shouldn't say Bo's normal, but your regular host, Bo Mitchell, and this is Chuck King sitting in for Bob Belts. And we have a guest today, Hugh Brandt. And Hugh is with what was known as Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU. And one of the fascinating things about Bill Bright and his leadership style is he just allowed the organization to morph over the years and find new strategies and new opportunities to witness for Christ. So you're now on this new initiative. How can the listeners help, and how can we help in that process?
You know, it's the idea now is wanting to let leaders lead. That we, in, for example, with CRU, our role is to coach, to consult, to encourage, to support, and let leaders in the marketplace lead. There's a real tidal wave now of God moving amongst leaders in the marketplace. And so with this Denver Leadership Circle, we're wanting to bring leaders together to see, what is God calling us to do? How can we leverage our strategic influence at such a time as this in the city of Denver with the issues that this city faces? So how can you help? You can pray. You can, if you know of some leaders that might be interested in being a part of this, that would be great. I can leave you with my phone number and email address, but we're still looking for leaders that would like to go through this initial 9-month leadership circle class we have starting at the end of the month.
Give out that contact information. Excuse me, Chuck.
Great.
Contact information.
The contact information, it's hugh.brandt@ccci.org, and that's hugh.brandt@ccci.org. And my number is 720-318-5927. And I'd be glad to talk about this.
You know, you define leader as you're using the term, because my guess is there are leaders out there who don't know their leaders.
Very good point. People who influence others, people who influence others within a domain, be it media, be it business, be it government, those people, when they speak, when they act, others know about it, and they influence others through their words, through their actions. So we're not necessarily talking about a positional leader, but more a leader who influences lots of other people. And our focus is on kingdom leaders, those influential leaders who can influence the institutions and systems of a city.
So will Luis Villarreal be coming to this?
You know, he and I have been talking.
Hope so.
He's a tremendous man.
One of the dynamic leaders I know.
When I said that there are leaders who may not know their leaders for Christ, I was getting to the point that people who are Christians often think, well, I'm a leader in this little sphere over here, but I'm not really a missionary. Those are the people you want to engage, right?
Yes. Leaders seeing themselves on mission with God, continuing to do what they're doing as doctors and lawyers and teachers and politicians, but they'd see themselves on mission with God, but continuing to do what they're currently doing.
So if I come to this, I'm not going to be asked questions and embarrassed.
No.
I'm just going to hear speakers and be motivated and fired up.
No, there's a real focus on peer learning. We believe that these leaders are coming with expertise and understanding, with a deep love for their city, and they will come and they will engage and learn from one another.
Hugh Brandt's phone number is 720-318-5927. 720-318-5927. And the website again, which seemed a little long to me. What's the address?
Well, my email.
Yeah, email.
My email address was hugh.brandt@ccci.org.
And that's where they go there. And maybe I was looking for a website where they can just get general information about this.
We don't have quite a website like that yet.
Sorry. Asked the wrong question.
And my guess is, since knowing the model for crew, that all of you raise your own support, that you could use funds and your organization could use funds. Is that right?
Yes, we could use funds to get this going, to get it off the ground.
That's Hugh Brandt, one of the great leaders around working with crew. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
See you next week here, folks, on You Get the Blessing.
Surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.